This podcast by Daniela White, MD, gives some best practice ideas for parents, their kids, and others to adjust well psychologically during the COVID-19 crisis. Topics covered in this podcast include strategies for parenting, facilitating learning, maintaining positive relationships, staying healthy, reducing boredom, increasing motivation, managing stress, and creating meaning and purpose during a time of crisis. This special COVID-19 podcast is brought to you by Midtown Psychiatry and TMS Center. I'm Scott Webb. So Dr. White, thanks so much for joining me today. What can parents do to help kids continue to learn and give them a sense of normalcy during this time of COVID-19?
Well, I get that question a lot in my practice. So basically, it's a simple answer, like trying to structure the time similarly with how the day is structured at school. The kids do very good with structure. So you try to start a day at about the same time and allow the break that they have in school. And of course, because you're home, you can make some adjustments, like, for example, kids with ADHD or hypermotility, hypotendency to be more mobile, you know, allow more frequent breaks and try to break down the repetitiveness of some tasks, right? So you try to introduce a little bit of fun and some exciting ways to learn. I mean, one parent was telling me that he alternates the reading passages, and that kind of is less boring for the kid, especially with a kid with ADHD. So just try to keep in mind that being at home, it's harder, especially for kids that have distractibility issues.
Yeah, it's very easy to get distracted by either, like my kids, playing basketball in the backyard or watching Netflix. And so trying to keep them on some kind of normal schedule has been a battle, if you will, throughout this. And, you know, you mentioned fun. So how can parents make learning fun, and separate learning time from just hanging out with our kids?
Well, you really have to put aside some time with your child, especially younger kids, when you just do not do teaching or discipline, right? So you just have to design that like fun time and even tell your kids like this is your choice of how you want to spend the time together, and just try to refrain from disciplining unless it's something that really you have to address, like, I don't know, writing on the walls or something that's not appropriate, right? But otherwise, just like, okay, this is our time together. We did a school this morning. What would you like to do together? So if they want to play on the floor, putting blocks together, that's what you do. And you basically mirror what they do without too much teaching involved, especially since you do that most of the day now with the school online.
Yeah, and that's what we've been doing, is trying to make family time. So we've been actually having more family dinners, you know, every night, all four of us sitting at the table, which has been nice. And we've had some movie nights, and, you know, the kids were mad at me because I said there's no phones during the movie whatsoever. You will leave the phones outside the family room. So speaking of kids and getting on each other's nerves, which I'm sure kids, that's happening, right? They're home all day. And they're just tired of each other being in their spaces. So how can we as parents prevent our kids from fighting each other and competing for our time?
When there are two parents available, right? Because sometimes we have families with one single parent household. But when there are two parents available, more kids, you try to create an individual time for each kid. And what works for one kid might not work for the other one, right? So one kid might choose to read in silence and kind of tell each other, you know, what they read, or watching a movie together, whereas other kids could be more active. Right? So when you individualize the time, it kind of makes it more special, because even if you have kids in the same family, the kids are different, right? So you have to adjust your parenting style to each individual needs of the kid, and also let them pick the fun time according to what they like.
I like that. That's great. We had to celebrate my son's 17th birthday during COVID-19, and I felt really good because I did everything I could to make it as normal and special as possible. And he said to me at the end of the day, he said, "Hey, Dad, I know how hard you tried to make this normal for me, you know, and I really appreciated that." And so that was really cool. And speaking of those kids, my son is a harder one to motivate. My daughter loves to get up and get moving and get playing and get reading and doing all that stuff. He's a little bit of a slow riser as a 17-year-old. So how can we motivate kids using some sort of reward system for their good behavior and good actions?
Well, you always have to know what your kid likes, right? So, and you want to use that as a reward, and sometimes, you know, negative negative consequence. So if one kid really likes movies or chatting on the video with a friend, because a lot of kids, that's how they socialize right now, by chatting on video, you can use that as motivator. If they did put down, for example, the number of X hours for work or reading, or use it as a negative consequence, like taking it away. usually we try to have more rewards than negative consequences. But the truth is that negative consequences are part of the life lessons, right? So it's always good to keep a natural consequence of certain behaviors so they can learn and build up skills for life, right? So while it's good to have more rewards, and usually we say 2 to 3 to good rewards, positive rewards to 1 negative consequence, we still have to get some negative consequences for a certain type of behavior, right? So it's up to, a lot of times, especially with the older kids, I recommend the parents to kind of sit down and have like a contractual understanding. I mean, there are things that I'm going to do for you no matter what. There are things that are privileges that you have and you have to earn. And there are some expectations, right? And if some expectations are not met, those are, you know, the consequences, or if the expectations are met or surpassed, those are rewards. So some, I mean, it's good to have the kid kind of knowing what to expect, if you can. And, you know, it's a work together, because that's how life is in general.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion, especially with an older kid like a 17-year-old. You can have a conversation like that. You can have a, even if it's just a verbal contract, an understanding between, yes, yeah, between the parents and the child. Like, here's how this goes. Just because of COVID-19 doesn't mean there are no consequences. However, if you do the right things,
right,
and you're a good citizen at home, you know, there's some rewards for that. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So because of COVID-19, with the two-parent families working from home, how can we, and I need your expertise on this, how can we manage our stress levels when dealing with each other and our kids during this work time?
Well, what we tell people in general is to focus on activities that kind of, because you have to be active, right? Activities are things that keep you in the flow. So things that kind of absorb you, right? So sometimes you can find those activities together as a couple or as a family, but sometimes you have to do what makes you flow or put you in the flow, right? So I don't know, I'm just giving if you like to, I don't know, crochet, you know, then probably that's your time to go and spend in that flow, meaning that you're not paying attention to time, you're absorbed and everything is focused on a positive rewarding emotional experience, right? So I recommend that for families, especially when everybody shares the same space, to kind of allow some independence in terms of like, this is my time to do what I like to do.
Yeah, we're definitely doing that. So we have a few different little workout things in the basement. Of course, this is where Dad, you know, records his podcasts, and it's, of course, where my son plays his video games. And so we all love the basement, yeah, and we've had to share during this time, you know, and could have been a couple of times my son's walked down and been like, ah, dang it, Dad, with the podcast, you know.
I know, I have the same thing. I have the same thing with my daughter.
I'm like, sorry, man. I'm lucky that I'm able to work from home. I feel fortunate that I'm able to work from home. And, you know, I think one of the things, especially with my son, but both kids really, is they're missing this time with their friends. They're so peer oriented. And even though he's chatting with his friends on the video game and my daughter's FaceTiming with her friends, it's not the same as hanging out, right? And,
right,
and we want to let them do that, but we know we probably shouldn't. So how do we reconcile all of this, trying to keep them physically and mentally healthy and allow them to have as much time as they can virtually with their friends, but not actually, you know, hanging out with their friends?
You know, the same thing is nothing new, you know, really the Zoom, but also there are other situations like driveway get-together where people kind of keep, you know, their distance and they bring their food in a small number of people. I mean, I allow that with my kids. Then sometimes they do activity together and then, well, of course, if they're all up for the adults, you can share a drink afterwards. I'm not recommending that for the kids. And kind of send impressions. But my daughter has been going through this process with interviewing for different firms, and I was surprised how inventive people were. So they did yoga through Zoom and meditation. And on Earth Day, they had like a project on planting a tree in your neighborhood and kind of share the experience with other people in the group. So it's always kind of trying to figure out where you get the satisfaction and the positive emotions from, and in those situations to kind of find a replacement for that. So I see that people who tend to be a little bit more extroverted having a little bit more difficult time with this period, whereas introverts, people that are more, I mean, they feel happy of being by themselves. They really thrive during this period of time. So the response varies. But once you know what's important for you, you really have to find a way to satisfy it. And it's sometimes a little bit more difficult and takes some creativity. You know, that works. I mean, I just have a friend who sent me a mask and meat Zoom meeting. So I suppose that we're going to have to wear the mask and kind of have a drink and be together on a Zoom. And so I think people kind of try to get out of the pattern of what they are used to, and they focus on what are the needs and they need to meet. They can be creative.
Yeah, I think this is, if there's any good to come out of this, other than, of course, everybody apparently now washing their hands and not touching their faces, you know, just great advice anytime, but especially right now, I think the people have been so creative.
Yes.
And found ways to teach and learn and stay connected and socialize. And it's really interesting just how creative we can be when we have to be. You know, I skipped over this question earlier, but I want to make sure I get to this. How can parents keep their kids healthy through nutrition during this time? And I know that I'm guilty of it. I know that I'm rewarding myself with comfort foods. I can see my kids doing that. You know, my daughter and I made cake pops yesterday, and I saw her when she came down for breakfast this morning, and she started with a cake pop.
Yeah.
And I was going to get upset about it, and I was like, you know, COVID. It's fine. Have a cake. I said, but after the cake pop, have a banana or something, please. You know.
You're right.
So how do we do that during this time?
I mean, obviously, you're going to make exceptions, and every guidelines for nutrition include the fact that you are going to have exceptions, but just make them exceptions, right? So in general, because you're so confined around the house, we kind of tell people, do not buy things that you know you're going to be tempted to eat and they are not healthy for you. And in general, the sweet, they are kind of empty calories unless they come from natural sources. Now, if you can go out and now you can't, you could go out and get a dessert right there and don't bring it home, right? Right now, I think you can order something or you can buy something in really small amounts if you want to use it as a treat once a week. But in general, don't keep too many candies and fruit roll-ups and sweet drinks around the house, because it's hard to be confined in a house and not get into something that's available to you. So make it a little bit more difficult to get, especially now only one person in a family or two people go to the grocery. So it's a little bit more going back and forth for this sugary, high-carbohydrate foods. So in general, especially with kids, we tend to make it, you know, well, we try to recommend, you know, nutritious food, plant vegetables, and of course they don't only like that. So we understand that you need a treat. Sometimes treats can be creative again and be nutritious, like fruit yogurt, and you can make popsicles, for example, right? So you can mix yogurt with some fresh fruits and you freeze them, and here you go, you have a good ice cream. So there are some creative ways of substituting the sugar that you need in something that at least has some healthy calories in it.
So, and I think this depends on how old the kids are. We've talked about there's a context to this, but when we talk to our kids about COVID-19, how do we not overestimate or underestimate the health risk so that they don't worry too much?
Well, of course, it depends on the age, but usually you as an adult have to be focused on the positives, right? Then, of course, if they are younger, you probably try to keep them away from the news. I mean, I was just discussing with one of my patients, like, if you really turn on TV at any time, you kind of see the number of cases, number of deaths, the market going down, and I don't know, it was another indicator of really doing bad things. So it's very hard to keep positive mood in those type of endemics and, you know, worldwide global situations. So less news for kids, probably better it is, especially if they are younger, right? And so try not to keep the TV in the background going and going, right? If you really need as an adult to, you know, stay updated on the news, just make it a short period of time or a different room. So not in a family room with the CNN or, you know, whatever station you listen to on all the time. If they are older and, of course, they learn from friends and news what happened, try to make a positive spin of it. Yes, there are a lot of people who die, but also there are a lot of people who recover. The world has been through this before. We are going to go through this again. We are going to try to focus on protection, you know, and how to not spread the disease and kind of take the right measures to prevent us from getting sick. But not everybody who gets sick will actually die from it, right? focus on taking care of the older people at home, people that are more, you know, I mean, more predisposed to catch it and have a terminal outcome to it. So I think it's important to minimize the input of negative information and try to stay positive. I mean, yes, we are at home, but it's not going to be forever. It's a period of time. So if we look at the lifespan, this is kind of small, right? It's a small price to pay for staying healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the message. We're just trying to stay healthy. We're just trying to protect them. We know that masks may not look cool to wear, but it's not about what's cool right now. Right now, it's about saving our lives and the lives of other people, especially healthcare workers. I know that relationships are difficult anytime, but especially during this time. So what can we as parents do to maintain, you know, positive relationships with each other, given the fact that we're always home, we're always in each other's spaces? How do we reconcile? How do we work this out?
There are three items in a relationship, or I can say three parts in a relationship: you, the partner, and the relationship itself, right? So each of those components of a health relationship has to be attended to, right? So that means, yes, you have to attend to the relationship and do things in common, but also you have to attend to individual needs. So that kind of goes back to what we talked earlier. You have to know yourself and know what makes you tick, right? And strive to create a balance between the time spent together and spending time on your own. Right. And for example, people that commute a lot, now they don't commute, so they have 2 extra hours. And while the commuting usually is a time that people do not like, sometimes the commuting is a good transition from work time to family time. When you work from home, you don't have that. You just open the door from the office and you're in the living room, right? So if you know that that transition time is important for you, then you want to maintain that, right? So it's a buffer time. Try to decompress, leave behind the work preoccupation and transition to be at home. So if that takes you to, I don't know, go and exercise in your basement for half an hour before you actually join your spouse or partner, maybe that's your buffering time, right? And also focus on what brings joy in a relationship. If he's doing things together and, you know, you cannot go to a show or a movie or restaurant nowadays, then you probably have to substitute that, right? Cooking together, you know, finding the blessing in the current situation when people, for example, are displaced and cannot work from home, focus on the fact that you can actually work from home. So it's the same thing, trying to focus on the positive that you have and not the things that you would like to have and you don't, right?
Yeah, that's great advice. When we talk about, and I think we've covered this a little bit through our kids, but just in general, maintaining relationships with the outside world, it does feel like, you know, you stand in your garage and you look out and you see your neighbors, but you know you can't get, you know, too close to them, or you have a birthday or Easter or things like that. And we've been doing some things through Zoom. We're going to drive by my dad's house tomorrow and we're going to wish him a happy birthday and keep our social distance, you know. So as we were talking about, there's lots of ways to be creative. But what are your suggestions for maintaining, you know, authentic relationships to the outside world during this time?
Well, you have to reach out to people, right? So just the fact that you don't have, for example, coworkers that you bump into when you go to work doesn't mean that if you have a significant relationship at work, you cannot reach out to that particular person outside work or whenever you need that human interaction that has nothing to do with the work that you do together. You kind of have to focus on, you know, for example, in the case of your parents, you know, if you're used with seeing them more often and all of a sudden you don't see them more often, then substitute that with a different type of contact, right? Cards, some people write cards, some people send flowers, some people do other things that would kind of keep that contact continuous, even through a period of isolation. So you're not only being in each other's presence, is to show each other that you think about one another, and we have each other in each other's mind, right? So when I send a gift, if I don't see you, but I send you a flower, then you know that I thought about you at the time, and I kind of have you in my mind. So I think it's trying to keep each other alive in our mind and communicate that to the person important to us.
That sounds great. You know, I'm thinking about just myself, you know, during this time, like, it's so easy to lose track of even what day it is. And it's so easy for days, even with working from home, for days just to sort of get away from you. And you just sort of, at the end of the day, you're like, what, did I accomplish anything today? So when we talk about that, you know, working from home, being at home, trying to accomplish things, let's talk about that sort of sense of purpose, what motivates us, or how do we get a sense of self-fulfillment, you know, during this time? How do we do all that?
Well, I think we can use this time to reflect, right? So in terms of, you know, situation where things are not under our control, like COVID happened and all of us, we had to adjust and be responsive to something that was created and we have no control over. I think that sense of fulfillment and achievement comes from taking some control over a situation that we could control, right? So our space, our structure of the day. So the fact that, for example, I cannot go to work doesn't mean that I don't have a structure, a routine, and I don't pay attention to what is important for me. Also, you can look at the positives in the situation that was created outside of your control, right? If you stay at home, you're going to obviously have more time to organize your closets, go through things that you had on your list to do, and take this as an opportunity and not at a disadvantage. So it's kind of turning opportunities into positive, rewarding situations instead of taking it as a victim. This was imposed on me, was created, I have no control, and I have to deal with it and kind of be resentful about it. So I think you feel more positive and more accomplished when you have a day that you can structure, that you have activities and things to do that you actually accomplish. Even the situation we talked earlier about, you know, becoming teachers, when a lot of us didn't think about being teachers, but now we have to teach our kids at home. Can that be a source of a sense of accomplishment? If I did a good job and all of a sudden I didn't think I'm going to be able to teach anybody, and here go, I'm a teacher for my kid for today. So that's a positive reinforcement for some people. Other people have more stress with the situation, and then they have to find other activities to de-stress them.
Yeah, and then of course for me, if I have a successful day in the virtual classroom, that's where I treat myself to a treat, you know. yeah, just as an example, just throwing it out there. So as we get to the end here, Doctor, this is a really interesting and difficult and challenging time, and some of us are being really, you know, creative with this time and making the most out of it. And as you say, and your advice is to try to stay positive as much as possible, which is all great advice. How do we create a sense of meaning in our lives during this time? How are we going to look back on this time years from now? How do we sort of construct that?
Like I said, I think people should use this period of a time of reflection, because there's so much change coming out of this pandemic that 3 months ago nobody was thinking about. So there are going to be some social shifts, cultural social shifts. Even, you know, the most glaring example is handshaking. You know, is that going to come back or is not going to come back? But many others, right? So reflect on what is meaningful in your life, and can you use the current situation to give a new meaning, right? And for example, raising kids, right? What do you want from raising a kid? Do you want to create an independent adult with whom eventually you're going to have a peer-to-peer adult type of relationship? Maybe that's a time to invest in that. And maybe that time that you spend teaching him is going to really be a foundation for lifelong memory, right? That's going to stay with your kid. So instead of saying, you know, wow, you know, I cannot do X and I have to do Y, just looking what you're doing, does that fulfill the meaning of your life?
We all want that, right? I have that type of relationship with my mom, you know, that there's this mutual understanding, mutual respect, that we are friends, but I always respect her, you know, even at my age, I respect her as my mom and how much she did for me, because she was a teacher. And even though we didn't deal with COVID-19, she had to deal with a grumpy teenager, but who also needed help with his homework. And I'm so thankful for everything that she did for me and the support that she gave me. And I can only hope, and we can only hope as parents, that we can, during this time, as crazy and weird as it is, that we can foster that, you know, with our kids.
Right. It's about modeling, right? So if your goal is to create a self-fulfilling and reliable adult, isn't this a great time to model that? You don't even have to say, hey, this is how you should be self-reliable. You just have to show them that you're self-reliable, and they're gonna have a memory of that. even if it's unconscious, eventually they're going to have that as a reference in on their way of becoming a resilient and self-fulfilling adult.
I love that. I love that word resilient. I love how you used it there. That's so key, right?
Right.
We want our kids to be resilient, to know that they can deal with anything that comes their way, and it may be challenging, but they're going to be okay if they stay focused, if they stay positive, if they lean back on those times like this. I mean, what an unusual thing. Our kids are going to grow up and they will have lived through this, and they will have this as a reference point for the rest of their lives. Remember that COVID thing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and let's hope that we do put it in the rearview mirror.
Well, unfortunately, those are the situations that really build tools for life. If you think about different generation that had to do and they had to deal with really big economic crisis or wars, or I mean, as much destruction as those past events created, those people who went through them, they really had, you know, life experiences and developed a lot of skills. Even we talked earlier at the beginning of this interview about creativity. If you don't have this type of challenge, that creativity is never tapped. Right. So, yes, I have to figure out a way to structure my day. But up to 2 weeks ago, I didn't have to think about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're all finding out, we as adults, that we are more creative probably than we thought we were. We're better teachers than we thought we could be. We are more resilient, which is something that obviously we got from our parents. My folks lived through Vietnam. And you're saying, you know, our parents lived through those things and grandparents as well. So, you know, as we wrap up here today, Doctor, anything else you want to say to parents who are just feeling overwhelmed right now?
Keep in mind what you want to model for your kids, right? So if you're overwhelmed, you have to allow yourself some periods of recharging, and your kids have to understand that. You kind of model to them how you deal with your own stress. So just because you're stressed, don't forget to put some time aside to recharge your own batteries, because in the end, parenting is about giving. And if you don't take care of your own batteries, you know, eventually kind of run out of gas. So it's important, if you feel overwhelmed and if you feel like you don't know what to do, to take that break and create that space, I mean, even in your mind or your physical space, where you can go and recharge your battery, listen to music or do something that puts you in the flow and give you more energy to deal with the rest of the stress of the rest of the day.
That's so well said, Dr. White, and it's been so great having you on today. You are just a wealth of expertise and knowledge and comfort, and I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Daniela White, MD. For more information on Midtown Psychiatry and TMS Center, or to schedule an appointment, visit MidtownPsychiatryTMS.com. And we hope you found this podcast to be helpful and informative. I'm Scott Webb. Thanks for listening, and stay well.